Welcome to the Williams Neekin YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning. This is Donna.
Hi, Donna. I see you there on the screen.
Uh-huh. I mean, no one else is on there yet.
Nope. Karen has got Clyde at the hospital.
Oh, is he okay?
Oh, he's having a gallbladder problem.
Oh.
Really painful.
Oh, that can be. All my sisters have had their gallbladders out. I'm the only one that has mine.
Really?
Yeah, even my dad, when he was living, he had his out. But I used to do, like, it was called the, you know, that gallbladder cleanse. We use the,
right.
You know, the lemon and the olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably do it again. But isn't that interesting?
Right, that is interesting. I had I recommended that a few times, and people were saved from gallbladder surgery. If you have too big of stones, it doesn't work. But if you can do it with just in a case of sludge,
right,
it seems to work really well.
So
tell me how you did yours.
Well, I just had apple juice all day long. It's been quite a while since I've done this. So I just have apple juice, the only thing you can have. And then at night, you mix olive oil with, is it lemon juice?
Yeah, but there's one with lemon juice.
I think it was olive oil and lemon
juice. There's one with Epsom salt, but I didn't ever think that would be a good idea.
There was a lemon juice and olive oil. And I did pass a lot of little stones, a whole lot of them. But they were just tiny. I guess they were just forming. I need to start getting away from MSG totally. I thought I was doing pretty good, and then I messed up. You know how hard it is to stay away from that?
Yeah, I do.
It's unbelievable.
What did you get it in?
Well, I bought this ham, and it said no MSG, and I didn't test. I have been testing everything, if I could eat it, and I did not test it. Well, it has natural flavorings in it, so that's MSG.
Yeah.
And it made my heart do that same thing again.
Irregular heartbeat?
Well, it was like atrial fib. I didn't go to the hospital, but it went out. It was yesterday. And I came home, and I drank a cup of my magnesium, and then it went right back in. But now I'm debating if I should take the medicine or not. Because when I went to the cardiologist, they were saying, well, fish oil wasn't enough. It's not an anticoagulant. It might thin your blood. So she said, I should probably take the anticoagulant.
No.
And the beta blocker, which I don't want to do, but I did email Roger Drummer, and I'm going to consult with him over the phone. You can do it like 4 times. For $125, so I'm going to do that. Maybe he has
an idea. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. That's a good thing to know. Good morning.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, if you go to his website, you consult, one, two, or three, or four times. I can't remember. There's different prices. So I did it 4 times for $125.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, we have someone else on the phone.
Morning, sir.
Good morning, Ruth.
Hello.
This is Margaret.
Good morning, Margaret from Tennessee. Good morning, Monty from Olympia. How was your guys' weekend?
Good. That was good.
Good. That's very good. Donna was just telling me how she had some natural flavorings for dinner.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Proof of the pudding. Well, then they put so many nitrates in that. I think they probably stick nitrates in there, too. I don't know whether you're getting nitrates or MSG, but they both are poison.
Right. Now, this particular product, though, it said no nitrates, no MSG. But, you know, in the natural flavorings, it might be in there, nitrates, right? So,
Well, good morning, everyone. This I'm calling you from the beautiful island of Vashon. Kind of a cloudy day here. Still beautiful though, and missing a couple of our regulars. Clyde is in the hospital, so Karen is in the hospital with him over here in Seattle. And so I'm going to give our prayers to him. I have a gallbladder problem, and hopefully he'll be able to get that solved. And so Donna was just telling me about doing the gallbladder flush, which I had recommended to people a few times, and actually haven't tried it myself. And I really think that we all should do it once a year or something. Once, I don't know how often, especially the one that Donna just described. So we'll have her do that in just a moment. Actually, just a second. Okay, so we don't have new people on the call. I'll just say welcome to our health style call that that we believe helps us to stay on our track. And we are learning many things. And so we have a different focus for each day of the week. And today being Monday, we have kind of an overview, which we're going to kind of skim over today. But instead of doing that, I think I will have Donna tell about the gallbladder flush and how that has worked. First of all, Donna, tell them what you told me about your family and that problem.
I'm sorry, I'm muting you again. It's been quite a few years ago. I did a gallbladder flush, and you drink apple juice all day, and you at night you put olive oil with lemon juice here, and you stir it up till it's real cloudy, and then you drink it, and then you go to bed. And I can't remember, you lay on one side, and I can't remember the exact amount you use either. But anyway, I did get rid of like little tiny gallstones. They weren't big, and there was quite a few. But I was telling Ruth a few minutes ago that all my sisters have had their gallstones removed, and even my dad had his removed too when he was living. But I'm the only one that ever did a gallbladder flush, so I think that's interesting.
I think that is very interesting as well. And you can find the various gallbladder flushes if you just look for them online. But I'm so happy to hear that hers was successful, and she used just the simple ingredients of apple juice and then the olive oil and lemon juice, because there are some of them that sound a lot more harsh than that, and I think the gentle one sounds better. That's the one that I would choose to use, and you could find that online. And it might keep people from having a problem. So now then, probably all of you know that if you're having pain across your upper abdomen, that's where your gallbladder lies. And that pain, I guess, is pretty severe. But the other thing, when people have that pain there, then I just say, well, what did you just eat? And eat recently? And usually it involves some kind of fat, because your gallbladder really is trying to help you to digest fat. And too much fat in the diet can lead to gallbladder problems. I don't know if that's it. But usually it is people who are eating fat, and it seems to be quite, it does seem to run in families. Does anybody else have any comments about that?
Well, hi, this is Mary Lou.
Hi, Mary Lou.
Hi. I had, when I went on a real strict diet with no fat at all in it, and then was reintroduced to normal food, is when I ended up having my gallbladder attacks. And I got to where just about anything I ate with any amount of fat at all in it, so that I had an attack. I didn't know about gallbladder flushes at the time. I certainly, if I knew what I knew now, I certainly would try that, because I ended up having to, I did have my gallbladder removed, and I think we had our gallbladder for a reason, and I kind of wish I never had mine removed. So that is my input on that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
Well,
I guess the main thing I wanted to say about that is that so many of the diets out there that are restricting the fat, that restrict, you know, I mean, we should be eating good fats. And some of those diets out there that are telling you not to eat fat, they're very, very dangerous.
Okay, so maybe when there's been a talk, maybe we'll, you know, as we're talking about not eating too much fat, and then here we are eating avocados, maybe that would be a question that we could have answered, how that affects it, if we could find anything about that. I'd be interested to know, what about if we're eating the good fats versus the bad fats, how does that affect the gallbladder? We're talking about the gallbladder because Clyde's in the hospital. Clyde Eastwood, Karen's husband, is in the hospital right now with a gallbladder attack.
Oh.
He's really infected, and so he's got a pain with that. So keep him in your prayers. But, I just mentioned that, and then Donna shared with me her experience, and so I thought that was certainly worth taking some time discussing, and that's one of the reasons we come on calls, because we're really a support system for each other as well. And for others who listen to the recording on allswell.org, which we have here on the side, just move to the screen with that on it, www.allswell.org. So if you are listening on the recording, you can also find that information by going to allswell.org. Well, I was thinking a couple of thoughts, and just running around in my head for some time. We talked one time, and we were covering Kathy Abascal's anti-inflammatory book, and she brought up the subject of leptin. I have it here on the screen, and so I just popped the definition on here. Leptin is a peptide hormone that is produced by fat cells and plays a role in body weight regulation by acting on the hypothalamus to suppress appetite and burn fat stored in the adipose tissue. So we would like to have some of that running around in our body, but then we learned also that if you eat a meal, but also, according to Kathy, leptin is a hormone that causes us to go to sleep at night. But if we have insulin being really active in our body, then it makes the hormone leptin stay away. And so I deduced logically that if we didn't have any leptin, then I wouldn't be able to go to sleep. And if I didn't go to sleep, I would have no weight loss. And excuse me. And so what she suggested is that you don't eat food 2 or 3 hours before you go to bed. Because if you eat something, particularly anything that is has a high sugar content, whether it's sugar or when it goes in your mouth or if it turns to sugar in your body, then the insulin will have to come out to store. Insulin's job is storing the sugar in or energy in the fat tissue, and so that gives you more fat. And so, also, then it makes your leptin doesn't come out, become active in your body, and so then you don't go to sleep, then you don't have any weight loss, then you have extra weight, and an arrow means yields. Extra weight yields extra inflammation, which yields chronic disease. And so that means that I need to not eat before I go to bed. I just thought it was interesting the way that these hormones, we have so many hormones in our body, and all these different little things that we do has a reaction in our body. And then if we do them the wrong time, like eating before bedtime and getting our insulin level up, then we're going to have wrong results. However, another thing that I have learned, because I didn't know all that much about insulin, but when we had the lifestyle call a long time ago, I remember a certain diamond who was diabetic. He could not use insulin shots or pills or anything. His body wouldn't work. It didn't work for him, for some reason he couldn't use those. And so the only way that he could keep his blood sugar down in a normal way was to run. And he had to get up. He had to run on his treadmill for hours, it sounded like, every day. He says, "I'm like a rat, just running on my wheel. I'm just a rat in a cage, and I can't get off." And went on the program with the food blocks that can maintain the high glycemic load, and he was able to just run a whole lot less. He just said, "I'm a rat off of my treadmill. I'm not a rat anymore." And that really stuck with me. And so I know that if you exercise, that will burn the blood sugar. I guess that's kind of how it works. And so then that's another thing that I can do. And I've mentioned before that I do exercise before I go to bed because I sleep better. And I don't get cramps in my legs as much, especially if I drink enough water. Let's kind of talk about that and maybe your experiences with this. How do you feel about, how does this relate to things that you have experienced? Do you think this is true for you? Monty?
Are you talking about leptin?
Leptin, insulin, whether to run, whether to exercise at night, et cetera.
No, it's exactly true what you said. If you have too much insulin in your body, then the leptin doesn't come in, and the leptin basically helps us sleep, but it also decreases our appetite, so we don't leptin, so we don't get hungry. And then, as we lose the leptin, then that's why in the morning our body is hungry, because I don't exactly remember why, because I know I talked about it, but. One of the other hormones increase, which then tells us that we're getting hungry and we need food. As far as the insulin, for people that are diabetics, you have what you call insulin resistant. Basically, what that means is that the receptor cells receptors of our cells won't accept insulin the way that an average person would, and I guess it's almost like to think about resistance would be think about a cocaine or a drug addict, to where you can take so much drugs and then eventually you got to keep getting more and more, and eventually you just reach a point to where you just got to have it all the time. Well, it's the same thing with insulin resistance, is our receptors in our cells won't accept the insulin, and that's why the only way you can lower your blood sugar is through exercise. Like you said, that diamond went out and had to run, and that's the only way that the body can actually decrease the sugar in our body, and that is to go out and run to make us burn up that sugar.
Mm-hmm. How does this affect what you have, the rest of you, if you'd like to comment on what you're doing and the experience you're having? Does it prove or disprove what we have said here? Mary Lou?
I'm here, and I guess I don't understand the question. I don't know. I sleep really good.
Okay. Okay.
Good. I exercise.
Do you... and some people are going to do this without having any problem with it. And I go to sleep well. I just don't stay asleep. I'm finding different ways to make myself stay asleep better. And following this, after learning this, then I'm following some of these things and find that it helps. And so I wanted to see if when we can learn something, like we learned from Kathy about the leptin and the insulin, and then we try to apply it and experiment with it with our own body, I would like to know what the results are. If you have experimented with eating before bedtime, not eating before bedtime, exercising before bedtime, not exercising, and how that affects your sleep, as obviously sleep is really very important to us.
Well, Ruth, I don't know about the insulin and the leptin, but I do know that if I eat, and sometimes I do, when I eat before I go to bed, I don't sleep as well. I have trouble getting to sleep, and then I sometimes wake up two or three times in the night. So I do know that it affects the way I sleep when I eat late.
We don't know. So jumping right in here, no sleep, no weight loss. Extra weight, extra inflammation, and then that leads, of course, to our chronic disease.
Well, I know that if I do have something to eat after, say, like a snack or something like that, maybe after dinner, if, you know, one thing I have found out for me, of course, being a diabetic, is that I certainly can't put anything carbohydrate in my body. I might have some protein, something like that, which doesn't increase the insulin, which again goes.
Thank you. Monty, you know, that brings up another thing. We have learned. Now I knew that. What's that other one? Insulin's balancer hormone is. I forgot what it is. I knew in a minute. It just popped out of my head. There's another partner to insulin that tells your fat cells to release fat, and that's when we are eating the protein that Monty's talking about, and that tells you it to release the fat so that it can leave your body. Starts with a G, I think. Anyway, I'll get that.
Glycagon or like that?
Yes, glycagon releases the fat. Thank you, Mary Lou. Releases the fat.
Okay, and that happens why?
When your protein is, when you eat protein foods, protein causes you to produce glycogen, and that releases the fat, and insulin tells your body to store the fat. And you get the insulin, you produce insulin when you eat the carbohydrates, you produce glycogen when you eat the protein. And that's why these people have these high-protein diets and they lose the weight. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's healthy. And so what Dr. The Zone guy, Dr. Sears, produced his books, wrote his books around the balance. And that's those food blocks. And we're going to be working on those a little bit more, and that's a little later in our week, maybe. Okay, anyone else have a comment about how knowing these things, what your experience has been in relation to this information?
I would like to know why I never wake up hungry. Maybe Monty could answer that. He said, mentioned something about that's why you're hungry in the morning.
I'm not.
I'm never hungry in the morning.
Well, I don't know the exact, you know, I can go back and research it again. It's in my notes somewhere, because I've got gobs of notes, but I know that leptin helps you sleep. Like I said earlier, as you get more into the sleep or whatever and it's time to wake up, that there's another hormone that actually is produced, which makes us, I'm not going to say hungry, but I'm going to say it makes the body want to have food, because what you do is at night, leptin helps us burn our energy, you might say, in another way, which in turn helps us sleep. But then also, it's like the brain saying to our body, we got to have energy, the day's coming. Our sleep cycle is ending, and we're getting ready to have a productive day, so we've got to have energy, and then it produces the attitude, I guess, that we need food. I know I might not be explaining it right, but...
One thing that we might think about, you know, when I get up now, since we talked about using the liver and cleansing our body, if we read the directions, we all find that we need to take the liver all by itself, three of them, like first thing in the morning. So now I've had my liver capsules, and by the time I finish the call and feed the animals and all my other before things that I have to do before I get to eat, I am feeling hungry. And developing the habit of a routine like that, then the body has a cue. This is the time to eat. And so I'm finding that I am getting hungry now when I'm supposed to be hungry in the morning before 11 o'clock, which is when I used to be always, I could hardly stand to eat before 11. But now when I'm doing the routine with the liver cleanse type of a thing, support, and my other things that I have to get done, then my body knows, okay, now it's time to eat, and it's giving the stomach growling cue.
Oh.
That's okay. Interesting, because I've been like that my entire life. I have to force myself to eat in the morning. I know it's important to eat in the morning, and especially with the with us exercising the way we do. But when you mentioned that, I've got this visual of Ruth, little tiny Ruth. I remember telling my doctor one time many years ago, I'm never hungry in the morning. I don't eat breakfast. And he said, I'll never forget this doctor, looked at me and he said, I don't know any fat people that do. I didn't keep that doctor very long.
Right.
Well, you know, one of the things we do when we're in station mode, and we do eat, we do get energy from the fat cell. Kind of funny, but I guess so. I kind of think that I have in my body, I guess, the less I have to eat, because my energy that I would need would come from my own body without producing any more food.
Right.
Otherwise, we'd go into starvation, and that's why we're recommended that we have three meals and two snacks. So let's go through our health style with Ethan chart here on the screen.
Ruth?
Yes?
You were talking about the liver support and liver cleanse. When do you take your liver support?
Now I've taken it already this morning. Supposed to take a half an hour or something before you eat.
Okay, so it's not necessarily good for you to take it at night then when you go to bed?
I don't know. You probably have to ask somebody from the home office or something that question, Steve. It's recommended right on the bottle or in some of the information that somebody pointed out to me. I think it was on one of the calls they pointed that out. And I'm not too good at reading the labels. No wonder I would get more better results if I do it like the bottle says or the information says, which is half an hour before you eat or something like that, three capsules. And I don't know if you have to do this every day of the year or if you do it one month out of every quarter or something like that. But because I have reactions to toxins a lot, pretty noticeable reactions to toxins, I decided I wanted to take it correctly and that I wanted to do it. I'll do it every day of the year probably. Give my liver all the support it needs. My fighter. Toxin fighter. Destroyer. Okay? Hopefully that's helpful, Steve. Okay.
It is. Thank you. I have another question if you don't mind.
No, that's fine. Good.
As far as nutritional things, I've got my new little one-month-old grandson's in the hospital with pertussis. Doing very well, by the way, but still having a little blue cells when he starts popping, but he never needed to have help getting back the breathing on him. He's always done it on his own. He's doing really well. According to the people at the hospital, they've never seen a little guy respond as well as he has, but nutritionally for his mom, is he nursing? Anything that we can have her have that would help him?
probably anything that builds the immune system. So looking across this list, you look at the daily, the green zymes, the Siaga, the Bergesterol. She should be producing enough lactoferrin, but under the circumstances, I'd probably tell her to take some extra lactoferrin. Or I wouldn't prescribe that, though. I would just say that might help or something. Immunity.
Yeah, okay.
You know, one of the things they found out now, and they're starting to do in Europe, in a research that I was there, actually putting lactoferrin now into baby formula. Of course, that's probably for people that are not breastfeeding or whatever, but, you know, lactoferrin is the great immunity builder, and it's we all have it in our bodies, and we, like Ruth said, maybe she just, if she's breastfeeding, maybe she just needs more lactoferrin in herself, which, of course, will transfer to the child.
So, okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we talked a bit about the water. It's just, you know, we drink. I drink 8 ounces of water or more, eight ounce glasses of water usually. But I'm finding more and more that when I have a headache or a neck ache or something, or cramps in my legs or whatever, that I can look back and I didn't drink those 8 ounces or 64 ounces of water. I know that I didn't have that much water, and so my body is more reactive to it, or I'm more aware that I didn't have the water that I should have had. And that's what's causing the problems. And boy, after Monty showed about how the brain works, no wonder my brain works when I don't have or hurts when I don't have enough water. It's shrinking up and getting dense in it because it's just like a plant. It's just wilted. And a poor brain didn't have enough water. So that's a good thing to think about. And I guess I was going to talk a little bit about the nutritionals here. But I'll just say that using these nutritionals, I think, makes all the difference in the world in anti-aging. And we'll talk about those another time because we're kind of out of time here. So does anyone have anything to add that they would like to say about what we have discussed at this point before we close? Any questions or other things that we might discuss on another day that you want to know about?
Well, I know one of the things about water that I've always heard, and that is if you get a headache, one of the first things you need to do instead of popping aspirin or whatever, and that's drink 2 glasses of water. And like I say, now with the research that, you know, we've been kind of doing with the brain and things I'm figuring out, I can now understand more so why water is so important for the brain to function the way that it needs to. So it's just almost like the brain saying, give me some water because I need it.
Right. Thank you, Monty. So, okay. You guys, it's nice to have a chance to visit with you here this morning. Again, keep Clyde and Karen in your prayers because Clyde's in the hospital with a gallbladder problem, and that's very painful, and so we want to help pray and help him to be able to get better. So thank you for joining us today and adding your comments. That is what makes our call interesting and exciting. And yes, it's a really very great start for our day. So off we go to get our before rules done so we can get to do whatever we want to do. Have a great day,
Thanks.
Guys.
Thank you, Ruth.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.